This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilliard.
I'm a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, in the book of Matthew, we're going to look at and study the life of Jesus as in the book of Matthew. What did I tell y'all? Mark, well, I'm in Matthew. I'll start in Matthew. We'll get to Mark. In Matthew chapter 17, sorry about that, Matthew chapter 17, we see here Jesus having an encounter that we're going to learn tremendous truths from. And as I was praying over my holidays and my vacation, the Spirit of God began to speak to me about bringing the body of Christ back to the fundamentals of faith. During the, during the 90s and early 2000s, since everything was going well in the economy and everything was going well around us, we kind of skated through. Didn't have to use much faith. Everything was going well for everybody. But now, since things kind of went topsy-turvy, the believers who at one time were strong in faith began to be laxed. And some of the things that we had learned and understood and were committed to, we became laxed in, and we need to get back. We let some things slip. Now, I'm not condemning you, because, see, at one time I averaged about 2 hours of the word a day listening to it. Then I slacked off to about an hour. Now, go and judge me if you want to. But I understand, in order to go where I need to go, I got to get back to the 2 hours. So that's what I did. I made that correction. I'm back to 2 hours plus. Because faith cometh by and hearing by. All right. So now, I don't want you to at all feel I'm trying to condemn you or anything like that. But I know what God told me, to call the body of Christ back to faith. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 6:17. Watch this. Matthew chapter 17. We'll start there in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Underline could. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Look closely. Verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, let's go to another story in Matthew while we're there. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And here, Jesus speaks to a barren tree, and the subject of doubt and unbelief still surface here. Verse 21. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. He had spoken to the tree, it had withered, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, everybody say all things. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things. All things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing. Everybody say believing. Believing. The scripture says you shall receive. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11, our classic teaching on faith that we've heard from time to time, where here Jesus gives the fundamentals of systematic faith. Mark 11. All right. verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Watch this now. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye pray, whatsoever thing ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We want to talk tonight from how to eliminate doubt and unbelief. Now, these next few Sunday nights is going to help you rise in faith. I'm going to carry out my assignment to bring you back to focusing on faith. And tonight we have two simple points as we look to understand, as we study doubt and unbelief. We're going to study them. We're going to understand. We're going to dissect them. We're going to understand how to deal with them and how to eliminate it from our life. Because according to Jesus, if we will eliminate doubt and unbelief, our faith will work at another level. Amen. So then, first point will be the manual of faith is the recorded scripture. Now, I'm going to be fundamental at first because there are a lot of people who are watching who have not heard faith as many of you have heard faith. So if you'll just bear with me for the first 5-10 minutes so I can be fundamental and lay the foundation for them. Now, the whole reason that we discounted this according to your faith is because it's the fundamental teaching. And if you're really serious about faith, since I'm not going to deal with the fundamentals as much in these next several weeks, you can go there and get the ABCs of faith. But I got to attack this whole thing about doubt because there are several types of faith. And doubt is that which is common, and unbelief which is common to canceling the benefits of any of these kinds of faith. What do you mean kinds of faith? Well, the Bible says there is I characterize them as submission faith. That is what Peter did. We never find a record of Peter confessing, I believe I receive a boatload of fish. Jesus says, go fishing. Peter says, we toil all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. So based on his submission to the word, he went out and his faith brought him the catch. You follow me? There is saving faith. Saving faith, of course, is when I confess in my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead. The Bible says I can be saved. There is surrogate faith. When we see people using their faith on the behalf of others, sort of what we're seeing here in this passage is that this man is coming on the behalf of his son. But throughout the scripture, we can see people coming on the behalf of others, surrogate faith. And then there is the systematic faith that we see here in Mark 11, where Jesus is teaching the fundamentals of asking and believing and confessing and demonstration and expectation. So these various kinds of faith, but in any of these, doubt and unbelief is what will cancel the benefit of faith. But you've heard a lot about faith in church, but we must understand that this, the word of God, is the manual. It's the textbook, not what so-and-so said, not what somebody else said, but the textbook is the word of God, is the scripture. Now, John chapter 17 and verse 17, let's go there so that we may establish truth for us as we're looking through the scripture. Because many times your unbelief is based on some erroneous things that you've chosen to believe. In other words, you believe in wrong because because of something that you believe that you think is right. Don't get twisted. Don't get all twisted up with that. We'll work with that in a little bit. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. This is Jesus talking. And he says, thy word is truth. What is truth, class? Come on, what is truth, class? The word is truth. Now, based on that, then we know that whatever's in the word, then that becomes truth for us. Regardless of what I was brought up hearing, regardless of whatever preacher I liked have said, whatever the word says is the truth. Amen. Now the word says that we live by faith. The word says, go to Romans chapter one, the mandate and mission of faith is divine, that God has called us to live by faith. It's not an emergency kit. It's not a lifesaver, something that we do when we're in trouble, even though it will work in times of trouble. We should have a lifestyle of living by faith. Everybody say living by faith. All right. Now, there it is in Romans chapter 1. We'll start there in verse 16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Watch this. For as it is written, the just shall do what, class? The just shall do what?
Live.
Everybody say live by faith. Live by faith. All right, so faith becomes a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that affects things in our things. It affects a kingdom directive when God tells me to do something. Romans, you make a note of this, Romans 12 and 6. When God speaks to me to do something, it will only work relative to the development of my faith. All ministry is a reflection of faith. It also affects my kingdom desires. We read it out of the scripture there, what things serve I desire. So my desires will come to pass relative to the development of my faith. It also affects kingdom dominion, the things that I will rise over, I will overcome. The scripture says there First John chapter 5 and verse 4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God, you follow me, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So my overcoming is going to be determined by the development of my faith. Therefore, for the believer, for you the believer, who want to experience the promises of God, who want to have God's best, for you, the most important subject is faith. And I know that's why you showed up tonight. And I know that's why so many showed up who are online watching us. That's why pastors gather their churches together, because they understand that the promises of God are received how, class? Oh, good class, good class, good class. Now, functioning in faith and teaching faith for me is never a problem. Here's why, because that's my anointing, that's my assignment. What I have to do tonight and these next few nights is be sure I communicate to you specifically what God told me to tell you about this element of faith, doubt, and unbelief. All right? Now, as the word of God is the mandate, as is the manual for faith, maximizing faith only comes through studying. The manual is the scripture, but maximizing only comes through studying the word. Go with me to Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're just about there. Just about there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because I have the manual doesn't mean that I will automatically rise in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Verse 2, starting in Revelation 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, come on class, the knowledge of God. So the grace and peace will not be multiplied if I don't have the knowledge. It will only be multiplied, I can only have maximum results if I have the knowledge. That's why getting the knowledge is so vitally important. Because I cannot maximize this whole element of faith. I cannot maximize the force of faith in my life without knowledge. So tonight we're going to give you some knowledge as we study doubt and unbelief. Amen. Now, let me see if I can't turn back the clock a few moments to our opening passages. In one of the opening scriptures that we read, it was the account where this man comes to Jesus. He's brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast the devil out of his son. So he brings him to Jesus. Jesus then ministers to the young man, cast the devil out of him. The disciples come back and say, now, how come we couldn't do this? And then Jesus says, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. Everybody say unbelief, 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 unbelief. Then, of course, we went to Matthew chapter 21, and there we saw what Jesus starts saying. He says, now, if a man will have faith and have no doubt, if you'll doubt not, everybody say doubt not. When Jesus says, have faith and doubt not, then he says that nothing would be impossible for him. That all things, anything he believes and pray for will come to pass. So we understand now that doubt and unbelief are some critical subjects that we must study if we are to maximize faith. Why? Because when Jesus talked to the systematic faith in Mark 11, verse 23, there again, he talks about whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So it must mean, if I take the reciprocal of that, I will not have whatever I say if I have doubt and unbelief. I may even know what to say. I may even be saying what I know to say. But if I have doubt and unbelief, it will cancel, short circuit, undermine my faith. So I really need to understand this whole idea about what doubt is and what unbelief is. Now, looking at what Jesus said, it is possible to have faith and have doubt. Now, it is possible to have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. Doubt in your head simply means, I don't know how God's going to pull this off. Let me give a definition of doubt. Doubt is just simply saying, I don't have the knowledge. Doubt is a lack of being persuaded with the knowledge. It's a sense of uncertainty. It's a sense of I'm not sure. And when it comes to how God's going to pull some things off, we are really not sure. Now, doubt left unchecked can move over into unbelief. Unbelief, definition time, is the blatant act of the will to reject, to oppose truth. It's a decision not to believe. Unbelief is a decision not to believe. Unbelief is a decision not to believe. Now, doubt left, everybody say doubt left unchecked. Doubt left unchecked will move you over to the place where, after you have looked at the circumstances, you cannot figure it out. You're circumstantially driven. And after a while, you will agree with the circumstances that it cannot be done. You have just moved from the place of doubt over into come on, I got a good class in here tonight. I hope that they're good on the web. Amen, amen. Now watch this, watch this. Here's some things we're going to talk about. go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. So as we, God told me to restudy doubt and unbelief and that relationship to effectiveness of faith. And in this, we're going to give you some revelation. Everybody say revelation. And then some illumination. Illumination. Illumination is different from revelation. Illumination is that God speaks to me and uncovers. I can show you in scripture in principle. You follow me? And it's different from a revelation on a passage. So that's all my theologians who are out there looking at me and judging me. Y'all could care less. All right, but then see what he you're going to say. All right, watch this. Look at verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have what? Hope, might have an expectation. That's why we study the word of God. And so we're going to look at some situations. Go back with me in your Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 21. Because doubt in the head is not the absence of faith, according to Jesus. It only becomes dangerous when it moves into the core of my being, into my heart. That is why Jesus on another occasion says, and shall not doubt in his heart. And shall not doubt in his heart, in the core of his being. Because when I doubted in my heart, I set my heart against what the scripture says or what the word of God says. Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at this again. I should have had you put your ribbon there, but you would have had to have one of my Bibles that has three ribbons in order to mark it properly. Amen. All right. Look at verse 21. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, if you have faith, and doubt not. So I can possibly have faith and still not know, not understand. Doubt. Let's see if we can make doubt a little simple for you. Okay, I say to you, I'll say to you that the Rockets will win the. See, there you go, doubt. See, you went straight to doubt. I didn't say what they're gonna win. Okay, I'll say. The Rockets will go to the NBA Finals and win this year. And you go, I doubt that. But then I give you more information and say, the Rockets just got Kobe, LeBron, Howard. You follow me? We have just put together the super team. Now you're reconsidering that. Well, I don't know. They might. Because the more information you got, the less you doubt it. So I can be in faith and doubt in my head. All right, watch this. So Jesus says there that if a man can have faith, and if he doubt not, everybody say doubt not. Doubt not. So it must mean I can eliminate doubt from the equation. And then verse 22 says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask, if I can eliminate doubt, all things whatever I ask, believing, asking prayer, believing, I can receive. Everybody say all things. All right, now watch this. Now, go in. Everybody say stay with him. Now go to Matthew chapter 14, and let's examine a revelation that we will get from Peter walking on the water. Peter walking on the water. So Peter walks on the water, and he is the miracle is taking place. He sees Jesus. He calls Jesus, Lord, if it be you, permit me to come on the water to you. And so he's actually walking on the water. I'll pick it up there in verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, watch this. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Didn't say he didn't believe. He said he doubted. He said he doubted. Doubt has a diminishing effect on your faith. When I look at my circumstances, as Peter did, the more I will focus on the negativities of my circumstances, it will cause a diminishing of my faith. Now, how you know it diminishes in degrees? Because the Bible says beginning to sink. Beginning. Now, you don't begin to sink in life in the natural. You jump in the pool, a swimming pool, say you're going to walk on the water. You don't begin to sink. You just go to the bottom. In that, he was walking, and the more he looked at his circumstances, the more he became overwhelmed by his circumstances, the more his faith was diminished, and then the results he was getting began to diminish at the same time. I'm telling you that in order to walk by faith, you have to be careful that you don't let your negative circumstances overwhelm you and cancel the miracle that has already in place. So, doubt occurs and goes to the heart when I begin to focus on my negative circumstances. Doubt is a weapon that the devil uses to pull you into unbelief. Because then he begins to flood your mind with all of the impossibilities. How it's going to happen for you. How it's going to work for you. This can't work for you. Then he begins to talk about all the other. He's feeding you information, but the information is contrary to what the Word of God says. Because his whole aim is to get you to forfeit the principle of faith by you choosing to not believe. Because believing is always a matter of my will. I control whether I will believe, but the devil will persuade me to disbelieve through the natural negative circumstances that I'm looking at. Anybody up been there? So we need to know how to counter that, since I understand that if I'm in doubt, doubt's going to cancel the results I already have. Let me put it like this. The prosperity you have already achieved. You achieved it by your faith. Your faith has been sustaining you. But now through doubt, little by little, he'll pull you back into poverty. Little by little, pull you back into sickness and disease. little by little pull you back into a negative relationship. All right. Let's go to another thing. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. What we're looking at these episodes of doubt and unbelief, because the whole point I want you to see, you got to understand that I cannot afford to play with doubt. I cannot afford to entertain doubt, because if I entertain doubt, it will take away the results I already have. If I entertain doubt, it'll pull me into unbelief. And once I'm in unbelief, my whole results, my whole faith effort is canceled. Well, Pastor, how do you do this? I'm going to tell you. Just hang in there. We've come this far by, and we cannot afford to get into doubt. Now, Peter, let's go back to Peter. You say, well, you all knew in Scripture. Think about it. He's walking on water. Now he starts looking at the wind. The wind didn't have nothing to do with him walking. He processed it wrong. See, here's how I say he processed it wrong. See, he processed it, I can't do it because of the wind. So he looked at his circumstances. He surmised that it was not possible to do what he was doing because of the factors that he saw. So in that false interpretation, he convinced himself. That's what I mean, this is when we throw in a rock at Peter, let's talk about you. You know, you hear one little old newscast, or they say things are getting worse, and you already know that you're an ambassador. What do you mean I'm an ambassador? Well, you know, I'm here, but I'm really a citizen of another world. Now, that's what the Word of God says. And the Word of God has proven that God can take care of his children regardless of what's going on. He proved it in the days of Moses when he caused the wind to blow and the birds, the quail, they just came down. Well, all they do is pick them up. He decided just to, in the middle of the desert, turn on heaven's bakery, and bread just came out of the air. Nothing is too hard for God. But now, instead of focusing on that, what you start focusing it on is, I'm looking at all of these prices going up high. I'm looking at all these folk who are out of work. What the Bible says, 1,000 will fall at one hand, 10,000 but shall not come nigh you. But that's not what you're looking at. You got your paper open every day. You're looking at how bad it is. You got on the phone with folk talking to you about how bad it is. All you're doing is feeding your doubt. Mark chapter 9. You're there? All right, watch this. Mark chapter 9. Okay, watch this. That situation with those disciples, that was an amazing situation. When the guy brought the son to Jesus and says, Master, they couldn't cast him out. Now, remember I had you, when we read that, say, underline, could. Because I have a problem with that. They didn't. But they could have. No, they didn't. But they were equipped to. All right, watch this. Watch. Put your ribbon here. Let's see if I can prove this. Now, what was that? What was here? They were to cast out a devil, right? All right, go to Matthew chapter 10. Let's see if they had been given power to do that. Because if they had been given power to do that, they were equipped to do it. But something happened that caused them not to be able to do it. Are you there? Okay, watch this. Verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, watch this. He gave them power against unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They already had authority. All right, let's go to another passage. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Because I saw they could not. What do you mean they could not? They should have been able to. Why? Because he'd already equipped them. They could have, because they'd done it in other places. So this wasn't like this was some new thing that they had to do. They could have. All right, watch this. Verse 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power, oh my God, and authority over what? Would you underline all devils? So that means that should not have been a demon episode, a demon encounter that they had, that they have not already been equipped with authority and ability to overcome. Can I get a witness in this house? Yet, go back to Mark chapter 9, they flunked. And I wonder what happened. Because remember now, Jesus says to them, boys, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. My question is, how do you move from a place of authority, a place of ability, a place of anointing, a place of success, to a place of failure? Everybody say illumination time. Illumination. Right, watch. All right, start pick it up right here. Watch this. Look there with me in verse 17. Verse 17. All right. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. This is Mark's account of it. We read it out of Matthew. We look at Mark's account. And he answered and said unto him, or he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall you be with me? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, when the boy saw Jesus, when the devil in the boy saw Jesus, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now I submit to you by illumination, this is the very same thing that happened when they brought him to the disciples. That this boy started convulsing and jerking and gyrating, falling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, and the disciples said, oh my God, we ain't never seen nothing like this. But now let's look at what Jesus did. All right. And he asked the Father, how long is it ago that since this came unto him? Jesus, ignoring the boy, ignoring the jerking, the gyration, the tearing, and all of that, and start talking to the dad and saying, well, how long did the boy been doing that? Because Jesus is not focusing on the wallowing. He's not focusing on the foaming. He's not focusing on the tearing. Because he knows he's anointed. He knows he has the ability. He knows he has the power. He has no need to focus on the negative that is before him. Can I get a witness in this house? All right, watch this. Watch this. I submit to you that the disciples freaked out. Even though they had been given authority and power over that situation, they freaked out. Please don't you laugh. One doctor's report can cause many of us to throw away our faith. One negative report from the doctor, and you focus on the report, and you got all these passages in the Bible, all the miracles that he's done in sickness and disease, and yet you focus in on a blood count. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Jesus can take a few fish and five barley loaves and feed multitudes. And you price the gas went up and you tripped out and you quit tithing. Amen. All right, watch this. All right. And here's the father's response. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus answered and said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are what? Oh my God, can you get this? All things are possible to him that what?
Believeth.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, he is dead. Now watch this, what's going on now. This spirit, when Jesus cast the spirit out, starts jerking, the boy starts jerking, gyrating, and fell down, boom, like he's dead. Yet Jesus doesn't let all of that bother him. All right? You're ready for this one. Because in the faith walk, many times, it looks like it gets worse before it gets better. I got some witnesses on that. It looks like it gets worse before it gets better. I said looks like, because you're not aware of what's going on behind the scene. If you only know what's going on behind the scene, you will never be moved by what you see, only by what you believe. Now, I told y'all, I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. I said, you know, this morning, you know, it broke into my house. Broke into the brother's house. Do you understand that? I mean, that's she said violation. My fifth ward came out of me. No, God had to check me on that. I'll just tell you, God really had to check me. Because, the county was moving too slow and insurance company moving too slow. So I said, I'm going to get my own investigator. And I told the investigator, you work for me. You don't work for them. You give me the information. You let me know who they are. And God said, no, look, what are you going to do? I'm about to get myself in trouble. But now I've been confessing. More money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time, because God gave me a prophetic word. Gave me a prophetic word, not just for me, but for the body of Christ. That if we intentionally praise and glorify him at all times, we can expect real, real soon a move of God in our lives and more money in our hands than we've had in a long, long time. But here I am, somebody done broke into my house, stole my stuff, stole some of my money, and here I am. For as far as cash in hand, I got less cash in hand than I've ever had. It looks pretty worse, but I know it's got to get better. So I'm not moved by what I say. My God, my gosh, preach myself happy. Don't preach you happy. I'm not moved. Everybody say discipline. Because the mystery of success in faith is discipline. The discipline to keep doing the word. The discipline to keep your mouth in order. The discipline not to be moved by what you see, only by what you believe. Amen. Well, you say, well, did you lose? Well, no, I couldn't lose. I can't lose. You know, when the devil come tell me that, I just start confessing. More money in my hand. I'm not getting off my confession. Amen. And, you know, praise the Lord, I had a lot of jewelry. A lot of jewelry was given to me. People, you know, gave it to me. I could never, I could never sell it, you know, anything like that. To get what the worth of it, a lot of it was old jewelry and that sort of thing that I could never do anything with. I don't wear it anymore. You know, it's just sitting there. It was, you know, sentimental. You follow me? But I ain't a sentimental guy. Praise the Lord. A lot of my stuff, of course, I'm a good negotiator. I bought all of my stuff, probably a third of what it was, a third of what it's appraised for. But my insurance company had to pay me what it was appraised for. Now, here's the thing. My jewelry that I always wear, y'all see, because I'm still got my bling, they walk right past it. Lady B's stuff that she wears, I mean the serious stuff that she wears, they walk right past. Because I was all upset, and God says, son, I protected what you really love. But now in the natural, I got less money. But oh, when the insurance company settle up, more money in my hands. I want you to see this. Because that's the way it is in life. It looks worse before it gets better. So if it's looking bad, you're closer than you've ever been. I know I'm right about that. What happened to the disciples? We cannot let it happen to us. They moved into doubt when they saw that boy forming and that sort of thing. And that doubt canceled that anointing. They come because they went from doubt into unbelief. It persuaded them that they could not do it. It persuaded them that the power would not work. And they moved from doubt into unbelief. And because of their state of unbelief, they failed out. Their faith would not work. And so Jesus says, your faith wouldn't work because you went into unbelief. Hallelujah. Now watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Because now we come to the remedy. Everybody say the remedy. All right, watch this. Go to Mark chapter 6. Everybody say, it's going to be right in the Word. It's going to be right in the Word. How do I eliminate doubt and unbelief? What's the strategy that I must use? We looked at the episodes of doubt and unbelief in Scripture. Now let's look at the doubt, eliminating doubt and unbelief strategies. Tonight I'm going to give you the first strategy. And we're going to prove it by the Word of God. It is obvious that something can be done. Because Jesus had to deal with doubt and unbelief in his ministry. And we're going to see exactly what he did. Are you there, Mark chapter 6? All right, now watch this. Look there in verse 5. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, and he could do no mighty work save that he laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their, what? Unbelief. Amen. He couldn't do any works because of their what?
Unbelief.
Unbelief, all right? Now watch this. And he went round about in the villages doing what? Okay, do you see it? Do you see it? Come on. How many saw it? What was the remedy? The remedy was teaching. The remedy wasn't shouting. The remedy was teaching. He could not do the mighty works because they had made a choice not to believe. So to overcome that, he came there with the Word of God, teaching them so that they could make a decision to believe in spite of what they saw. Somebody ought to help me. All right, watch this. Go with me another passage in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And I got to tell you, when I saw this, I almost shouted. I read this before, but watch this. Mark chapter 1. All right, are you there? We're going to see how Jesus deals with this situation. Look there with me in verse 40. In verse 40, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He says, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean, can't you? See, up to this point, there has been no record of a leper being healed. So he has a legitimate doubt. He says, my case is different. Now, Lord, I've seen you lay hands on others, and other folk has gotten healed. The blind has gotten healed. The lame has gotten healed. But what about leprosy? What about my condition? What about my case? He has a legitimate doubt. Everybody say he's in doubt. All right, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Be thy clean. Watch this. And as soon as he had spoken. And as soon as he had spoken. As soon as he had spoken. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he was cleansed. You didn't see it. You didn't see it. He touched him. And nothing happened. He wasn't healed. By the touch. Because even though he was touched. He was still in doubt. But when he got the information, it is my will to heal you. Immediately. Oh, y'all want to get, did y'all get that? Did y'all get that? Did y'all get that? It was the information. It was the information that it's the will of God. Jesus touched the man. Nothing happened. But when Jesus says, I will. The remedy for doubt, the remedy for unbelief is the Word of God. Being consumed with this Word. Church, we got to go back to being consumed with this Word. It is a different day. It is not the year. It's not the 2000s. It's not the 90s. We're under serious attack. Some of you are under serious attack in your health. You can't afford to miss church. You can't afford to miss a day of hearing the word. Because the cure of your for doubt, the cure for unbelief, is saturation with the word. I'm about ready to close here. So Abraham, in Romans chapter 4. Abraham, go there quickly as we close this thing. God has to deal with Abraham. Abraham's in doubt. Abraham doesn't believe. God has made him a promise. A whole lot hangs on the promise. But he's got to get him to believe. Everybody says he's got to get him to believe. Abraham is in doubt because he's trying other methods to get the promise to come to pass. He's obviously in doubt. And then Jesus installs something in his life that causes a revolution in his faith for what he had been believing for 24 years. All now happens in 1 year. Everybody say, tell us, Pastor, tell us. Yeah. Well, he's been in doubt. He's been struggling with this thing. He's been in unbelief. How am I going to have a child in my old age? I mean, and then in Romans chapter 4, we see this there in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom we believed, even God, which quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So what God does for Abram is this. God changes his name because that is a way God is going to cause him to be saturated with the word. Because every time he hears his new name is establishing the promise of God in his life. His new name, Abraham, means father of nations. In the natural, he is not father of nations. In the natural, he's not father of any. But now when he says this new name, I'm Abraham. He's saturating his heart. He's saturating himself with information. God has made me. Sarah's name is changed from Sariah to Sarah, which means mother of many. This confession now is saturation. Because the antidote and to chase away, one of the strategies, to chase away doubt and unbelief is the affirmation of faith out of your mouth. The scripture says in Acts, it says, so mightily grew. Go there. And we close. This is my last scripture. Last scripture. Acts 19 and 20. My role tonight is to get you to the place where now you're going to go back to confessing the word. Everybody say radically. Yeah, radically confessing the word. Radically doing it. Oh, you used to do it radically when you first got into this. But then you just kind of start skating and just kind of, okay, yeah, I know what I was saying. I don't say it in church. But no, you're going to get up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror, boldly confess what to. You're going to go back to what you did back there in the 80s, in the 90s. Some of y'all who had to forge your faith under pressure. Going back to that. Our church is going back to that. Back to every time we're meeting, we're declaring what God said. God says he's ready to work some miracles in your life. He just got to get you out of doubt and unbelief. He's got to get you over there where you're so saturated with the word. Because the word is the incorruptible seed. Are you there in Acts chapter? What did I tell you, Acts chapter 1? 19 verse 20. Who got it? Lights of the Bible. Can't read it on the Bible. Lights of the Bible. Lights of the Bible. All right, watch this. Acts 19, 20. All right, it says, watch this. Oh, that's good. So mightily grew the word and what? And do what? Oh, I got to close on that. So mightily grew the word and do what? And prevail. When that word grows mightily in you, it will prevail. But you are the controlling factor. Whether you're going to hear this and walk out of here and be like you were, or whether you're going to get back to where you used to be. Many of you used to buy CDs. You don't buy them anymore. Why? Because I heard that. Faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing. Why wait until an emergency comes up to try to get back into the Word. Why wait until something happens, till your house is in foreclosure, to then say, I got to get back on this? No, no, no. Let's get back to it now, and maybe we won't have to face a crisis like that. So mightily grew the Word and prevailed. Prevailed over what? Sickness and disease. Prevailed over what? Depression. Prevailed over what? Negative reports. Prevailed over what? Poverty. Prevailed over what? Lack. The Word growing on the inside of you, in your heart, will dispel doubt, dispel unbelief. Mightily will grow the Word, and it will prevail for you in your situation. Everybody say radical, radical. I got a radical confession I'm going to close with. Did y'all enjoy this today? How many say, I'm going to get back on it, Pastor? I'm going to get back on it, get back on it. Amen, amen. I'm going to get back on it. Get back on this thing. And now next week, when we come together next week, I'm going to talk about another strategy for getting rid of doubt and unbelief. This is just one. See, God wants us to get rid of it, so to the point that he gives us many strategies. And the strategy of the day is just, I got to get this revelation. I can't afford to sit around thinking about negative stuff. I can't let my mind go there. Well, we live in a real world, and we're looking at real situations. And I don't know about that, Pastor. Okay. You go on and do your thing. But as far as me and my house, I'm going God's way. I did not get here by the world's way. I did not get here. Oh, you listen to me. I got here by faith. I've seen the Word of God prevail over sickness and my. I've seen the Word of God prevail over lack in my life. I've seen the Word of God prevail over negative situations in my life. I've come too far for you to tell me that this does not work. So mightily grew the Word and prevailed. Here's a confession the Lord gave me on vacation. I stand in the place of exceptional favor with God and man. I have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus became poor that I could be abundantly supplied. I have exceptional faith to believe in God's willingness to deliver and to manifest every promise. Nothing is too hard or impossible for God. I see God as an exceptional father who willingly gives me not only my needs, but my desires, dreams, and wants. I have given the tithes of my increase and have sown targeted seed in abundance for a specific increase. Satan's power to hinder my increase and the increase of my church has been rendered null and void, and I declare the manifestation of exceptional finances. Yes. To buy those things my family desires and to give as my God directs and to lay up in store for my future. My eyes are open to discover the hidden riches and opportunities of others overlooked. My steps are being ordered into the path of abundance and extreme surplus. I have an exceptional future, guaranteed by my Father, who freely gives me the desires of my heart. And therefore, I have ultimate confidence in him. Jesus is my righteousness and my peace. Therefore, I am not condemned by my forgiven past sins. So I choose not to worry and receive stress in financial matters. I know I'm in a season of wealth transfer, so that I have exceptional fortitude to resist fear of lack and failure as the wealth of the wicked is being transferred to me and righteous others. I have exceptional focus as I see myself in abundance. I see myself debts canceled. See myself enjoying supernatural blessings of the Lord. I declare money comes to me. I declare those who are to give to me are free to obey God and to do so quickly. I declare I am financially blessed beyond measure. More money in my hands than I've had. Long, long time. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Father, we thank you.